Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 7. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. Unworthy to be here, but we do thank you for grace. We thank you for dealing with sinful men. We pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to open your word this morning, to get some help, some direction, some encouragement from your word. God, help us to apply the principles of it to our lives. Help us to, Lord, as this young man in the passage we're about to find out is in need of safety, give us safety. Give us, Lord, a mind that thinks before our body acts. And I thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number, well, I said 7, but let's start in verse number 6. He says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the streets near a corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Now again, as I said last time, this is not a woman, and this is not a virtuous woman. This is a strange woman. This is a stranger. The Bible says in verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her word. So you can know somebody and live right next door to them, they'd be a stranger. And we usually use the word stranger as somebody we don't know. But in the situation, the biblical situation, the nation of Israel, a place that's ruled by the law of God and by the principles of God, a stranger is not only somebody from another place, but it's somebody of different principles. Somebody that doesn't have the same values. Somebody that doesn't have the same mentality and mindset that you do. Paul says in the New Testament, he uses basically the same concept with the word sinner. He says there's some of us who know the law, and there's some of us who know the ways of God. And he says other people are sinners of the Gentiles. And now Paul himself says, "I'm a sinner." He said, "I'm the chief of sinners." But in this way, he says, we're saved, we're Christians, or we're Jews, or we know the law. He's given you a reference of his religion, of his mindset, of his attachment to the Lord and to the Lord's laws. And he says, we're not sinners of the Gentiles. We're not of a different status. We're not of a different culture. We're not of a different way. We're us. And if we're saved, we can talk that way here. We're Christians. They're sinners. We know we're sinners, right? But we do recognize that even though we're all sinners, and we're going to talk about that this morning in the morning service, we use that word kind of, or we use that phrase kind of in a happy-go-lucky sense to make everybody else feel better. Well, you know we're all sinners. Well, in a sense, we are all sinners, but in a sense, we're saved and they're sinners. Right. Amen. So what he's saying is this woman is a strange woman. I mean, she's not a virtuous woman. She's not God's woman. She's a stranger. She's a stranger. Amen. And so the Bible says they're strange children. There's children that act like children. And then there's children that act like they're their own adults. Amen? Well, those are strange children, children that doesn't know the right way to go, the right way to be. And so he says the strange woman, and then he comes down a little further, and he doesn't say she's a harlot, but he says she's got the attire of the harlot. Now, she acts like a harlot. This woman acts like a harlot, but we're going to look into that a little bit more closely. But so what we're not talking about is women. He's not putting down women. He doesn't put down women any more than he puts down foolish men. So there's foolish men, there's foolish women. And so that's what I want to keep that in your mind, because people have a tendency to say, well, it's talking about women. They turn that off. Or a man will say, well, it's talking about women, and all women are stupid, and all women are this way, and women are no more sinful than you are. Amen. Fellas, they're no more sinful than you are. And you are sinful. Amen. And so the ladies are, and the men are too. I've always thought in the course of my life that women have a better way of hiding it than men do. I don't know if, well, here in the chapter, it talks about her impudence. And that's shamelessness. And every once in a while, you'll meet a woman that has no shame and will just put out there. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I find that that's usually not the case. I find that's usually not the case. And so that when you run across one, it'll stand out so much that it'll be unmistakable about who you should watch out for. So he says, verse number 6, for at the window of my house I looked through the casement. And I talked to you about that a little bit not last week, but the week before. So I'm not going to spend much time on that. But he says, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. That's what a lion does. He picks on the young or the sickly or the weaker. He picks on them. That's why the devil went after Eve. The Bible said she is the weaker vessel, even in perfection. Even in a condition where they were still sinless in the garden, the devil went after the weaker vessel. Even in that situation, the woman was still a weaker vessel. And there's to me, now you do what you want to. I'm just telling you what I think. To me, a woman that tries to present herself as an equal of a man just makes me a little bit. Now listen, you're probably smart. You probably do a lot of things. But you're not a man. And there's nothing as unattractive and unseemly to me as a woman that's trying to be a man. it just turns me. And if a woman starts hollering, man, I got in trouble so many times when I was in the Marine Corps because I just wouldn't salute a woman. I just wouldn't do it. I mean, in boot camp, we were in the medical center one day getting checked out, and I think we were dental or something like that. And this woman comes by, and nobody said nothing to her or nothing like that. And she started jumping on our whole platoon sitting there, and she was just really giving us down the road. And our drill instructor come over to her and said, you better get out of here and leave these men alone. Go holler at your little. And he said a few words like that. Get on over yonder to your place and holler at your people. And that stuck in our minds. We appreciated that. And for the rest of the time I was in the service, I didn't salute. And I had the lady stop me one time. She was a captain. She said, you're supposed to salute the rank, not the person. I said, well, what you worried about then? You brought it up, not me. I ain't saluting you. Let's go. I mean, you want to go write me up about it? Let's go. I've been wrote up like 20 times since I've been in the Marine Corps. I don't care about you. Get out of the way. Well, you say, what was it? It wasn't personal. She's probably a great person. She'd probably do her job real well, but she wasn't my boss, and she ain't never going to be my boss. And my wife ain't never going to be my boss. And you ladies out here, you ain't never going to be my boss. And you ain't going to tell me what to do. I don't care what you think. Love you, everyone. Pray for you every day. All you ladies, all you men, pray for you every day. But ain't no ladies going to tell me what to do. You say what? Because God didn't make you to be my boss. The Bible, the New Testament, says that a woman should not usurp authority over a man. That includes your husband. That includes your pastor. Amen. You ladies, you want to correct me? Go tell your husband to come talk to me about it. Amen. That's just the way that it is. Amen. You start getting loud, this chapter condemns that. Sure. About anything. Yeah. If you go to a rock concert, be very quiet. Somebody might mistake you for something that you're not. Amen. That set the tone for a wonderful day right there. Amen. God, hope everybody comes back tonight. I hope you stay for the morning service. Amen. Now, listen. Again, I'm going to say, you've heard me talk about Proverbs 31. A woman can do anything that she can do, anything that she can accomplish. If God gave you the brains to accomplish it, go out and accomplish it. Make millions of dollars. If you can be a chase keeper at home and a good steward of your time elsewhere at the same time, do that. Do it to the best of your ability. And I'll say, man, that is a hardworking woman. That is an accomplished woman. That is a woman that really has things put together. God bless her. God, thank you for it. But you're not my boss, and you're not any other man's boss. And that's the way it is. The Bible said a woman is a weaker vessel. And as the context is dictating here, the prey is going after the weaker vessel. And in this case, here's a woman that's about to take out a man. She's going to take him out. And if you read your Bible closely, there's this the concept comes up time and time of again. Just a wily woman who's applying the abilities that she has to bring down a man. Ahab and Jezebel comes to mind. She's a killer. She's a killer. And thank God that Naboth wasn't a weak man, but she took care of him too. But he died with honor. He died with honor. I'd rather be Naboth than Jezebel, wouldn't you? Yeah, the dogs end up eating her. And see, you get this idea, you know, this million woman march up there in D.C. where they're all the most indecent and disgusting of all females met up there in D.C. They've done it twice since Trump was elected as president. They've done that mess twice. I got no respect for that. Got no respect for that kind of a person. But that kind of an attitude in a woman does not bring you out on top. Doesn't bring you out on top. It's not a blessing to you. And I just believe, I've got an idea in my mind that when a woman gets out of place, just like a man, if a man gets out of place, he's heading he's heading for bad stuff in his home life. He's heading for bad stuff in his body. He's heading for all kinds of trouble that he could have avoided by doing right. Doing right gives life. Can we not admit that over these first seven chapters, we have discovered the fountain of youth in the book of Proverbs? If you do right, it's a wellspring of life. If anything has come up time and time again, it's that if you do the right thing, it will increase. That doesn't mean that there will be no sickness, there will be no pain, but doing right equals life. I'm talking about physically. We're not talking about spiritually. This book is not about being born again. It's about doing right and doing wisely. And I've noticed this time and time again. If a woman gets mixed up in a false religion, it seems like, I mean, if it's one of those false religions that involve a lot of voodoo, I'm not talking about the Lutheran church where they go in there and sit for 10 minutes and listen to a little homily, a sermon. They call it a homily. It's a sermon. And then they go the way. But when they get into this real spiritual voodoo-like religions and trying to be real spiritual, it always breaks people down. I've noticed that. If you haven't, you haven't been paying attention. But at any rate, let me get back on subject here. He said, verse number 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. That's this man right here that's looking, he's in the safe place. He's in his own four walls and he's watching out there. That's what you ought to do. You ought to withdraw yourself a little bit sometimes and just look at what's going on in the world before you get out there in it. In other words, here's a good illustration for what I'm trying to say. What do you do before you cross the street? You look both ways. And before this man gets out in the street, he said, I'm going to find out what's out there. And he opens up just a little section of his window and he's looking, he's watching out there. Oh, look at this guy right here. Oh, look at that. Oh, that's a train wreck waiting to happen. And he watches this woman catch him and destroy him. Amen. Well, I better watch out for her. I better watch out for this guy over here. It looks like he's running the scam game over there. I was telling somebody in here, I can't remember what it was. It might have been Brother Mike there. When I was in the Marine Corps, went out to Colorado for some of my training, and this fellow was out there doing those little had a pea in the little walnut shells or whatever they are and spin them around like that. And I watched that guy for 20 minutes and I seen everything he done with it. And so I said, I can do that. And I lost $100 just like that. I should have watched a little longer, huh? And that taught me a lesson. I've never played a game of chance since then. I don't want to lose a nickel. And their 18-year-old kid, I might have been 19 at the time, got a hard lesson that day. I should have got a hard lesson by watching somebody else lose rather than losing myself. But I just stood there and watched him play. Nobody was betting any money. I said, I can follow you every time. Well, let's put some money on it. Well, you stand back and watch and see what happens. Amen. You know what a lot of times happens in a church? A preacher will tell you something and you'll get mad about it. And people leave the church over stuff like that. And next thing you know, you learn the hard way. Things fall apart the hard way. How many people have we had in this church in the last 10 years that have got mad and left and terrible, terrible tragedies come along? And you'll never, ever catch me say I told you so. But for the sake of the illustration, listen, I'd rather be the man hiding behind the window watching and confirming things before I just turn my life over to a world that's trying to destroy me. He says in the last verse, her house is the way to hell. This world is the way to hell. What makes you think there's people out there that's trying to live a life that's godlike and to live a life that's productive? I mean, what makes you think they're out there trying to share and get along with everybody when the course that they're on is on the road to hell? Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. Stand back and watch before you get involved. Stand back and watch before you make a business deal. Stand back and watch before you do. I mean, just do your studies. Amen. I bought a car at one place one time, and then a brother in church said, "Well, I've been there, and they've done bad deals, and they're just a bad place to do business at." And I should have asked around before I did it. He was exactly right. That's a bad place to do business. You just don't do enough investigation sometimes. But this wise man is doing the right investigation. He watches the thing play out. He said, I beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths, the weak in mind and no experience. A young man void of understanding, passing through the streets near a corner, and he went the way to her house. Now, you could probably walk in just about any place during the day safely, but this guy's out a little late. Sure. Amen? In the twilight, in the evening. We live in a 24-hour world now. People work third shift, and I guess that's been going on a while. I don't know when they invented third shift, but we live in a time and a place where more people than there ever has been works around the clock and works shift work, and people are used to being out. But it used to be in this world that when it began to get dark, that meant it was time to go to bed. When it began to get light, it was time to get up. Well, some of us have worked third shift and worked all these swing shifts. It's hard to just close your eyes and go to sleep at 8 o'clock. And I would tell you this, if I went to bed at 8 o'clock and slept to 8 o'clock in the morning, Lord have mercy, I'd be up for 2 days after that. It's hard to, but I understand the world that we live in, but the world that we live in and the world that ought to be ain't always the same things. Amen. The safe. Let's just put it this way and cut to the chase and cut out all the illustration. If you're out at night, it's more dangerous at night. You get robbed, or worse. You get scammed, or worse. You get hit by a drunk driver. I mean, it's more likely you get hit by a drunk driver at 8 o'clock in the morning. People are drunk at 8 o'clock in the morning. But the chances increase at night. The chances for trouble. Like some of you say, well, I've never seen any woman like this in my whole entire life. Well, maybe it's because you ain't been out at the right time. Thank God, amen. Thank God. But there's a place. This chapter talks about her corner. There's a place where people like that hang out. That's why we say, hey, don't go to the country music concerts. Well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with country music. Yeah, but there's something wrong with the people there. And we can argue about there's something wrong with country music. There is something wrong with it. But what I'm trying to get across to you, even if you've got a liberal attitude about the music, you ought not have a liberal attitude about people. People are sinners. People are sinners. And people get upset. Brother Mike always talking about people. Man, people are rotten. People are sinful. You're sinful. I'm sinful. Man, we live in a world that's just full of danger. And the bad thing about it is, what this guy right here is about to find out is that in just a second, in just one smooth line from the lips of somebody else, some man or some woman, you can be in such desperate trouble that it'll hang with you and haunt you the rest of your life. It's just not worth it. It's more worth it to be safe and to be distant or disconnected from the world. That's why he says, come out from among them, be ye separate. You don't disconnect from your brothers and sisters in Christ. You disconnect from the world. You don't. We live in a time when people will fall out with Christians before they'll fall out with the drunkards. And there is biblical cause for separation from brothers. He said, I told you. The Bible says, I told you not to keep company with fornicators. He said, yet not altogether the fornicators of this world, but if any man that be called a brother be a fornicator. He said, you're not supposed to keep company with him. But that, nine times out of ten, you're not hanging around, you're not running into Christian fornicators. Nine times out of ten. Sick minds and sinful minds and stuff like that. We're talking about performers. We're not talking about thinkers. Thinking's bad enough. You ought to get your mind clean. Amen? But we're talking about people that are in the act of being sinful. Now, you connect with the world, you're friends with people out there in the world, be a witness to them. When you stop being a witness to them, when you stop trying to influence them in a Christian way, they're going to start influencing you in a worldly way. That's just the way that it is. If you stop gaining ground, you're going to lose ground, and that's all that there is to it. When you stop running your children's life, they're going to start running yours. Amen? Amen? Men, when you stop leading your wives, they're going to start leading you. Somebody, it's the makeup of the world. Somebody has to be in charge, somebody has to be the influence, and somebody has to be the follower. And you can't be Switzerland and take a passive choice. You just can't do it. I mean, you just can't do it. You just can't do it. In certain circles, they have the statement, lead or follow or get out of the way. And I find that you can't get out of the way. It's just the way that it is. So he says, passing near the street, near her corner, he went the way to her house. In other words, what he meant, he's traveling in her neighborhood. It says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Now, this woman's not a harlot. She's married. You'll find out later in the verse. But she's no good. Amen? So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. See, I could just say, I could define that very easily and just make a blanket statement. Some of you would like it and some of you might not. I could say she was wearing a miniskirt. Or as my preacher used to say, she was wearing them bullfighting breeches. You know, them bullfighters on TV, they wear them pants and they too tight. And that, so he called them blue jeans and bullfighting breeches. Amen. Now, I don't get hung up on women wearing pants or whatever. I don't care what you wear. I really don't. It's between you and the Lord what you wear. But is it modest? Somebody said, well, I believe, Brother Mike, that... And if you believe this, it's fine. But this is just the way I look at it. And I have to say it from the pulpit because I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor. This is the way I think about that thing. Brother Mike, I just believe that pants are for men and dresses are for women. Okay, go to J.C. Penney's and get you a pair of pants out of the women's section and wear them. You know why you won't do it? They're made for women. They're effeminate. Whatever you wear ought, listen, ladies, whatever you wear ought to be effeminate. Yeah. Yeah. And it ought to be modest. Yeah. Right. And that's as far as you can go with that, making a statement based on what you think God thinks, because you don't know what God thinks, except for that women should be effeminate and men should be manly. Yeah. That's right. And that men and women should be modest. And I don't give two flips what you think beyond that, because it don't matter. I've spent my whole life trying to bow down to what other people think on a non-biblical basis. I ain't going to do it. And you should stop doing it as well. Yeah. There's so much liberty in reading the book and seeing what it says and going that far and no further. Yeah. Sure. Christianity is nothing if it's not about liberty. Right. Liberty from sin, And I'm not using the word freedom purposely. Freedom is, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't do what you want to do. You got to do what God says. That's liberty. There's a couple of us in here that was in the military. You know what liberty is. You got the whole weekend off, but don't go past 300 miles. You say, why? Because you don't have the liberty to do that. Go to the beach. Go wherever you want to go. That's what the fellas do when they get liberty. They go to the beach or they go to some club and spend all their money on nothing that's on stuff they're not going to have in 10 years. Amen. Just do all kinds of crazy stuff, but you can't, listen, you can't rob no banks while you're on liberty. Christians say, boy, I've got liberty in Christ. Yeah, but that don't mean you can break the law. The law is not our, it's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but the law is not our master. The law is not our master. It's our boundary. It's a definition of what? It's a definition of the character of Jesus. The character of God. He would do this and he wouldn't do that. You've got liberty to walk all around inside that stuff. The moral part is still as effective today as it ever was. Now you don't have to sacrifice no sheep. Why not? You have liberty. Amen. Well, that's a great and wonderful thing. Well, he says here, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. So I could just start saying, a woman that's dressed like a harlot, she'll have pants on and she'll have, well, I think y'all know what women look like, don't you? I don't have to go through all that. But I could do that very easily. But I think the attire of an harlot is better described by the next statement in the verse. She's subtle of heart. Did you know that what's on the inside of your heart is going to come out? So I'm going to say this. Rather than describing the attire of an harlot by short, flimsy, transparent, I'll just call it subtle. And whatever the definition of subtle is, because that's what's in her heart, whatever the definition of subtle is, will be how she's dressed. Now, I looked up the word subtle, and it's got 7 definitions. Some of them don't fit. But I'll give you the ones that do fit. You ready? Nice, fine, delicate. That's definition number 2. You ever seen somebody that would be a slob all around the house, but when they get out, they got to look the very best all the time? Who are you dressing up for? Why are you ladies not dressing up for your husband like you're dressing up for... Well, I'm just going to see the girls. That's even stranger. You want to look hot for your best friend, but not for your husband? Don't buy it. Well, Brother Mike said if you dress up, you're looking like a harlot. No, I'm talking about what you're going out looking like versus what you're staying in looking like. Have you ever noticed? Well, I've noticed this. I don't care if you've noticed it or not. I've seen it. Everybody that I've ever heard about that start cheating on their husband or start cheating on their wife started that relationship, the illicit relationship, by getting in shape and starting to look better. Amen. A good woman don't have to dress things up to be attractive. Amen. Again, I don't have any rules and regulations about what you look like. It's better to look well-dressed than poorly dressed. I admit that. But I think you get the point that I'm making. This woman is dressed up with an ambition, with a goal. Amen? Well, I sure do wish my husband would pay more attention to me. Dress up at home then. Amen. Well... Amen. It got quiet right there, but that's the truth. I mean, if it's not a problem, then don't worry about it. But I think that's the truth. So, nice, fine, delicate. There's only so good you got to look, amen. Well, let me make the point this way. Well, I don't want you leaving thinking, Brother Mike says if I dress up, I'm a harlot. No, I'm not trying to say that. This is a good illustration right here. So next time you turn on your television, look up these Hollywood award ceremonies and see how the women show up to those, to the red carpet. That's what I'm talking about. They got these silk dresses, and you can forget about short and see-through and all that stuff. They're not wearing jogging pants and muscle t-shirts or wife beaters or stuff like that. See the difference? It's delicate. It's fine. Fineries. All that stuff. Well, there's something going on right there. Amen? We'll look at some verses to go along with that out of the book of Peter here in just a little bit. The fourth definition of subtle is sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating. That's all one definition. Sly, artful, cunning, crafty, insinuating. Like instead of wearing pants that says pink right here, it says pink across the butt. That's artful. Amen? Y'all not, you say what? Well, you have to read it. Amen. Why don't they put the split right here instead of right here? This stuff is designed the way it's designed for a reason, for a purpose. And you put it on for a reason. It's subtlety. So what she is in her heart and what you are as men in your heart is what's going to show up on the outside. Amen. A working man wears work clothes. A fighting man wears fighting clothes. A banking man wears banking clothes. A Christian man wears Christian clothes. Amen. A Christian woman wears Christian clothes. A Christian woman wears modest clothes. A modest woman wears modest clothes. An immodest woman wears the attire of an harlot. Subtlety. Amen. It's definition number five is planned by art. Deceitful. This can go both ways for men and women as well. You're wearing enough rubber bands that you look like you weigh 50 pounds less than what you do. I got to go out now and I don't want to look fat. So. Well, what you going to do when you catch somebody and bring them home? Let the rubber bands go look. Why don't you go look for somebody who likes what you are? Really? It's a lot easier that way. I had to find a woman that didn't mind a skinny little man. You might have to go find a woman that likes a big fat man. But a lot less headache that way. Fool somebody into thinking you muscle man than have to spend the rest of your life in the gym keeping up appearances. Find somebody that loves you for what you are. Go out with all this deceitful stuff and it's just not going to turn out right. It's not going to turn out right. Amen? Planned by art, deceitful. And my little note, I'll read it again. Well, I've already said, don't worry about that. Amen? That's the way that it should be. You just be honest in your appearance and everything will be a little bit better. Amen? All these things come from a subtle heart. Amen? And I would say this, dress for success and not to impress. I done went through the whole line about workers dress for working. Hey, wear what's going to help you get the job accomplished and go from there. Well, I'm afraid that somebody might think, who cares what anybody thinks? I'm highly suspicious of a man that just constantly watching what another man's got on. I'm highly suspicious of that. Amen. 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 All right, then it says this. I got plenty of time. As few amens as I've got during this sermon, it feels like I've been preaching for 3 hours. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. So what's on the inside shows up in the dress. Verse number 11. Well, let me say this before I move on. Professionalism show up in the dress. Even if you're just wearing work clothes. Unprofessionalism show up in your dress. Chaos, chaotic. Amen. Show up on your face too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You ever seen a hippie? He looks like he hadn't had he hadn't combed his hair in 6 months. Now, some people have long hair. Did you know that?
Yeah.
But you can take a long haired you take a man with long hair and you can tell if he's chaotic or if he's just or if he's well put together.
Yeah.
One will comb their hair and one will look like something made a bird's nest in it. Amen. Take a man with a beard. It'll look like a bird's nest or it looks like he trims it every once in a while. It's just a matter of what people think about you or care about you or what you care about yourself. Okay, let's move on. A little tight in here this morning. Well, let's read this one more point. But he said, verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud. I didn't say nothing. The verse said it. She's loud. She's loud. Well, I don't like that girl. She never says nothing. That's a good girl. You know what would make a good man? Let your words be few. So this is not a principle that only applies to women. But there is a characteristic that shows up in stubborn, ungodly men and women. They're loud. And you know what? A lot of times, because of the days that we live in, a woman will let you know. I'm loud and I'm stubborn. That's what that verse says. I'm hard-headed. Well, stop that. You're not endearing me to you. You're making me want to pray God don't kill you. The Lord loves a meek and a quiet spirit. From both of us, men and women. Meek and a quiet spirit. Lord, have mercy. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Don't want to stay home. I remember distinctly, I was just a little boy, but I remember distinctly, before we got in church, my mama told my daddy one day, she said, I was born to burn up the roads. I remember that. That's a statement I remember in our house. I don't know why it stuck in my head, but listen, we weren't made to burn up the roads. We as men and women were born to be chaste keepers at home. I know that verse is applied to women in the Bible, but a man is supposed to be a chaste keeper at home as well. That's both of our jobs. Amen. Well, doesn't the man have a responsibility? Sure, he does have a responsibility. He's supposed to be a chaste keeper at home. He has other responsibilities, but so does the woman. Proverbs chapter 31 makes that clear. See, it's all about the target audience. Sometimes the Bible's talking to men, sometimes talking to women, sometimes talking to Christians, sometimes talking to lost people. Sometimes it's talking to Jews, sometimes it's talking to Gentiles, but you're supposed to rightly divide the word of the truth and get the message of the day. Amen. Well, I'm so interested in this morning's reaction that I'm just, praise the Lord. Amen. Now he says, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Well, I think we'll stop right there. But what you've got here in this passage of Scripture is that there's a woman that has a bad heart. It's showing up on the outside. She's on the war path trying to destroy somebody. And you're going to find out as we go into this next week, she doesn't have her own interest at heart. She has somebody else's. All she has is her own interest at heart, not anybody else's interest at heart. And at the same time, she's loud, she's stubborn, she doesn't want to stay at home. Those are all characteristics enough to let you know what's in somebody's heart and mind. Amen? Amen. All right. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. And we ask you, God, to help us, men and women, God, to think about these ideas of modesty, to think about these ideas of how we present ourselves to other men and other women in the church, on the street, at our places of business, wherever we go. Help us to present ourselves as one born again. Help us to present ourselves as one that has things put together and are on our way to glory instead of on our way to destruction. Help us, oh God, to get principles in our hearts and let those principles shine. You said, let your light so shine before men. And I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to be as Christian as we possibly can in our speech, in our intentions towards others, in our hearts, and even in our outward appearance. Help us, oh God, to do as we ought to do. And I'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break.